information is the best medicine, especially when it comes from Dr. Decker Weiss and Dr. Holly Lucille. Here's their show. It's your health, and it ain't rocket science.
Can certain foods be causing joint pains? We're going to tell you what those foods are, and we're going to tell you what to eat instead. But if we're going to get over joint pain in this country, which is one of the main reasons why people are going to doctors, chiropractors, naturopathic doctors, medical doctors, if we can't get out of the NSAID, the Motrin, ibuprofen, OxyContin pain drug cycle, we're going to have a hard time getting anything, any of our chronic illnesses or chronic issues in this country under control, including our costs. And food is a big part of that. Holly, do you come right out of the gate with patients when they come in with joint pain and say, here's the foods that got to go and here's what goes in?
Well, you know, it's pretty, I think that coming right out of the gates might, I don't know, I think it might get me into trouble as far as compliance and such because I would love to. But, you know, I always say, you know, food is so much in our society. It's a lot. I think it can be used as comfort. It can be used, it's celebratory, it's social. We like to use food as medicine from our perspective, I think. But for the most part also, you know, I like to teach people to eat for an outcome, especially when there's joint pain. Because as naturopathic doctors, we're like, okay, let's identify and treat the cause. Fact of the matter is, there are common foods that are associated in many people with inflammation. And inflammation equals pain. I was just home with my parents. I lectured in Ohio last week and stopped in. And my dad, you know, I always said, your skin is a barometer for what's going on inside of you. And my dad's got this kind of crazy sort of like, you know, eczema type. And I'm like, Dad, you're completely inflamed. I know it. And then, of course, I watched his diet throughout the day and a half that I was there. And I was like, Dad, because he's in pain, because he's had some surgery, and he's suffering from the recovery for the most part. And Decker, I got to tell you, I sat him down and I said, and I drew out this chart and I said, low-grade inflammation equals pain. And here are the things that are modifiable in your lifestyle and in your control that will contribute to low-grade inflammation. If we can get a hold of these, we can decrease your inflammation, therefore decrease your pain. And as soon as I said you can decrease your pain, his eyes kind of was like, okay, I'm in. But, you know, he's got Pringles on board and he's got Oreos on board. And that's a problem. So yes, we are going to say what are some of the common foods associated with inflammation and as well what you can eat that actually can help you eat for an outcome, eat for anti-inflammation.
Yeah, and I what the blowback I usually get from my patients who have some chronic pain issues, and I say, okay, here's the foods that have to go out, the white flour, the white sugar, the processed foods, things in packets, the more processed, the worse, chemicals, all of that stuff. And then I talk about, you know, building muscular cores. But the blowback I'll get is, well, taking Motrin or Tylenol once in a while isn't going to kill me. Well, that's true, but that's not what we're talking about. One or two Motrin is going to lead to one or two Motrin per day, and then it's going to lead to stronger meds. That's just the way pain is used in that model. When we start to peel that stuff back, all of your risk factors for heart attack, you know, stroke, all of those risk factors also decrease. So let me repeat that, Holly, because I jumped around there a little bit. My patients will come to me and they'll say, well, a Motrin once in a while is okay. And I'll say, well, yeah, I mean, this isn't a religion. This isn't, you know, we're Motrin or death. But you have to understand that that drug will lead you into more and more use of that drug and then to stronger meds. And none of these things are systemically beneficial. If you use curcumin and you drop the white flour, white sugar, white rice, hence the Pringles and the Oreo diet, the standard Michigan diet, is that what we should call it?
I think so. I think, you know, I actually think it's also a diet. He stopped drinking. And, you know, I think people that have stopped drinking for a bit, they get that. They just get that craving. They want something. And of course, those foods are extremely addictive for another reason. And so it's the next step, which I think it's great that he stopped drinking. But yes, you're right. But there's also other foods that I think, and you're right, as far as medications are concerned, boy, what's the exit strategy? And as naturopathic doctors, we've got to identify and treat the cause, not just suppress symptoms. Because my analogy there is like, okay, there's a building on fire and you're really annoyed because that fire alarm is going off. And what do you do? You just go over and you clip the wire to the fire alarm and you're like, oh my gosh, that is so much better. But what is the problem? There's still a raging fire. And so we got to get in there and understand. So I want to talk about some of the common foods associated with inflammation. We're looking mm-hmm. at citrus. Yes, I know people think that orange juice is mm-hmm. great, but I got to tell you, it's citrus. Corn and corn products. And boy, if you have not been paying attention, there are a lot of corn products on board these days mm-hmm. and edible products that aren't food anymore. Dairy, inflammation as well. Gluten, grains, so wheat, barley, oats, rye, spelt, kamut, yeast, and eggs as well. And then also, people don't understand this because we often say, hey, you got to stay nutrient dense, plant strong, let's eat those vegetables. But when it comes to pain, you might be one of those folks that are sensitive to the vegetables of the nightshade family. And we're talking mm-hmm. about tomatoes, potatoes, peppers, and eggplants. Those are things that you might, if you have joint pain, want to pull out and see if it gets better. But we can talk also about foods that you could eat for healing, correct?
Yeah, I think it is. And why it's so important you bring that up is pretty much everybody's got a rough idea what the bad ones are. The scary part is when people think that they're doing good things, but it's still setting off the pain. Like you said, if they like, hey, listen, I'm going to open with some protein. So we're going to have a red bell pepper omelet with black pepper on it every day for breakfast instead of doing my normal toaster strudel or whatever it is. Well, you eat that too much. That is the Solanaceae family. That is the nightshade family with little bits of toxoids in there that might be setting off your pain. Ruling out the nightshade family can make huge differences in pain, especially the neurologic pain, the neurologic deficit. Part of the reason why we need to bring shows like to you is because it's not just what we're pointing out bad, bad, bad. It's what we're telling you that you might think is good, but it's really not. And rolling out those nightshades is a necessary step in all pain management. Sorry to interrupt you. Nice job about that, Holly.
No, absolutely. We've got to break that cycle. So, okay, hot foods to avoid. You know, we can talk about corn-fed animals. So the red meat that's corn-fed, mm-hmm. corn is huge. And we've mentioned it before in Radio MD and on this show that there's a great documentary out there called King Corn if you really want to understand what's going on with our corn.
Unbelievable.
In our society. Yeah. So corn oil, safflower oil, saturated fats, animal fats such as butter and lard. However, butter, whole another subject. We've got some segments that you can click on and we can talk about mm-hmm. butter. But what do you eat? Here's the deal. More dark green leafy vegetables, including spinach, kale, seaweed. We got to talk about antioxidant-rich fruits, okay? So, and vegetables. And also supplementation, if you think about it. Vitamin C, not sexy. We've talked about it before, but guess what? Very effective. Yeah, raw nuts, including almonds and walnuts. Omega-3 rich fish, such as the cold water fish, salmon, mackerel, those things are wonderful. Soups made from scratch are great because you can get all of these things in there. When you use free-range poultry or meat bones, boy, you can boil those bones, and guess what you get? You get that release of glucosamine and chondroitin, and that helps increase your own glycosaminoglycans, that cartilage that you need so badly that's been deteriorating, and it can decrease your joint pain.
Yeah, and what we're talking about is if you're starting to get joint pain, you can use a Motrin and a Tylenol occasionally, but then you shift your habits to get out of the pain and get off the meds. You said something earlier about naturopathic doctors, and we prescribe. You know, I have a DEA number, the whole thing. The difference is prescribing with an exit strategy. When you have pain, you need to look at your diet, start peeling those things out, and start adding those things in that we just went through, the greens and all that. Maybe rotate out the Solanaceae, the nightshade family of vegetables in there in order to use your exit strategy to get off the medicines. All of those medications, the Motrin, Tylenols, those are temporary. Then you pull those joint pain-causing foods out, and then you put those joint pain healthy omega-3s, green fatty acids, king kale, I say, in order to get through it. And that's how you exit the medication world. That is how we teach you to stay well at Radio MD and RadioMD.com.